Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 218 of Her, the podcast, where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and, well, wait a minute, her soulfulness and her beauty. There's like a whole lot of stuff going on here. We've got such a terrific show coming up. Before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. We love hearing from you, and you're going to love giving me feedback after this show especially. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about Her.
So, I find out Erica Campbell is going to be on the show, and I'm going to be interviewing her for her new book, More Than Pretty, Doing the Soul Work That Uncovers Your True Beauty. Well, I was so pleased, I couldn't stand myself. Why? Because she's one of the top-selling gospel artists of our time. I mean, seriously, if you haven't heard her, you are such a loser. She is a multi-platinum gospel singer, both on her own and also as part of the duo Mary Mary with her sister Tina. Her solo album, Help, won a 2015 Grammy Award for Best Gospel Album, as well as 8 Stellar Awards. I'm exhausted already. She's also the host of the nationally syndicated morning show, Get Up Mornings with Erica Campbell. Trust me, you would get up if you listened to this, which plays in over 40 markets across the country. She's also starred in 2 popular docu-series, Mary Mary and We're the Campbells. Why? Because she's married to Grammy Award-winning producer and pastor of California Worship Center. All right, how do you like that for an intro, Erica?
My gosh, who is that woman? She's doing a lot.
Damn, I'm so, just a moment, I need an adult beverage to get through the rest of this. I don't know, I'm so tired. Erica,
you're awesome.
Damn, I mean, what got you started on all this gospel singing in the first place?
You know, Pam, I grew up in a Christian home, but I was an optimistic kid with a vivid imagination who knew I didn't want to stay in regular land. I just didn't want to, but I didn't know how to get there. So just small steps by steps throughout my life, I kept learning and growing and refusing to accept what the negative voices were saying in my head, that you wouldn't get signed and you won't be happily married and you'll never get this to a bigger flat platform. But I refused to believe that all that God had placed inside of me, that it wasn't for more than just me and my circle. And so, you know, you just keep going and growing and you learn to share. Thanks to my mom, who told me you don't go through anything for yourself and by yourself. Every story, every challenge, it is for someone else, for you to share how you made it through. How did you become a victor? How did you become a champion? And so all my 47 years, I'm so proud of, and I knew that I had to put this in a book and tell them how I
Wait
got
a minute.
Here.
You're how old are you? What'd you say?
47.
Okay, everyone, just Google her name, and you tell me that's 47 years old. Give me a break. I want to see your license now. All right, now listen, you wrote this book, More Than Pretty. Why? Why'd you write this?
So there's a story. I was 16 years old. I was walking in the back of the church, and there was a dear sweet usher who whispered as I walked past, "She's probably having sex." And I wasn't, and it devastated me. I was like, oh, my God, do I look nasty? And, you know, what did I do? You know, are my clothes wrong? You know, what is it? I totally internalized her words, and I carried them for years. But I struggled with understanding Christianity and sexuality because I knew I was a good-looking girl. But I was like, well, what am I in a pretty body for if I'm going to be vilified for it? So I started on this journey of trying to figure out the purpose of pretty. And I started learning a lot about myself, what I needed, where my flaws were, where they came from, were they influenced by what the world has said to me or what's happened in my home. And I realized it was a combination of all of that. And so I had to decide, what did I want to do with that information? Did I want to become what she said? Did I want to go the opposite direction? I figured I was somewhere in the middle. I was a cute girl. There's nothing wrong with that. But it can be manipulated if you don't know who you are and the purpose to your pretty. And
okay.
As I started
I love
learning
that purpose
I could,
to your pretty. I love the purpose
yeah, I'm not
to your pretty.
Because
quite frankly,
cute.
That Usher lady, she was judging you. Right?
She was.
That was her judgment
was
on you.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's judging you.
But guess what? When I was in the process of writing this book, I said to myself, what if she wasn't talking to me, Pam? What if I walked past and I got an earshot of someone else's conversation that had nothing to do with me and I took ownership of it? That is what women do. What someone else said, what someone else did, and our own insecurity goes, oh, they must be talking about me. And then you make a judgment of yourself. When I could have just walked past and said, she's not talking about me, because at that time I wasn't having sex. I loved being a church girl. I loved the people who, you know, I was in ministry with. And I totally got off track because I was afraid of doing something wrong, afraid of being something wrong. And I learned so much on this journey. And
so tell me, what is the purpose of pretty? That concept, by the way, has got to be like, I hope you're going to be tweeting that like there's no tomorrow and using that as a core, because that is such
sure.
a fascinating phrase. What the heck
sure.
does that mean? What does it mean to you?
It means to be able to look at yourself and go, hi, I like you, without anyone behind you repeating or reverberating that message in your ear or your spirit. For young girls, it means not being manipulated by needing your friends or a guy telling you that you're cute. For an older woman, for a woman in business, it means understanding walking in the boardroom, knowing your power when you walk in there, not necessarily having to be validated by the men who are in the room. It's knowing that I can walk in the room, because I've been in the room with some beautiful people. I mean, I've been in rooms where Janet Jackson, J-Lo, and Beyonce were in the room, and I had to own my pretty and not go, oh, but it's not that. Once you learn that, it is powerful. It allows me to go, okay, now, Erica, who are you? I'm a hopeless optimistic. I love life. I love love. To the point to where sometimes I'm talking about my dreams and aspirations, and I think we can do this, and I think people are great, and I think the world can be this. And my husband goes, oh, that's great, Alice. And I'm like, Alice? He's like, yeah, in Wonderland. But guess what? Even him joking about my optimism won't stop me from being optimistic, because all we have, Pam, is our hope. Faith is for today. Hope is for tomorrow. What are you hoping for? Some of us are just trying to get day to day. Let me put on my makeup. Let me look good today. What am I trying to become? Who am I becoming? What am I trying to show to the world? Who am I trying to help? And that makes my life bigger than me when I want to help somebody. And that gives my pretty so much more power than someone just double tapping or saying I'm cute or being on the cover of a magazine. It means I'm changing lives by changing my own.
Is this what you mean by doing the soul work that uncovers your true beauty? What is that soul work?
Doing the soul work is analyzing the things that you've been through, the mistakes, the pain, the wrong choices, and going, okay, why did that happen? What can I learn from that? Do I want to be held hostage to that wrong choice, that guy I slept with that I shouldn't have? Should I want to be held hostage to the person that I fired in my company just because he pissed me off? Was that the right thing? Was that a heart move? Was that an insecure move? When you start trying to figure yourself out and your ego and why you have it, and why it makes you do dumb stuff, it helps you grow. And that's doing the soul work. I mean, my family was poor, of course. Set 9 kids, of course, you know. My dad had health issues. My mom and dad married and remarried each other 3 times. I mean, if that doesn't do a doozy on your brain, I mean, come on.
Oh, my God.
What I learned is, even though it wasn't right, they loved each other and they kept trying. That's what my dad told me before he passed. He said, I didn't get it right, but I want you to know I kept coming back because it was what I wanted, even if I didn't know how to do it right. And I didn't. But I freaking loved your mom. Wasn't that
all right.
beautiful?
So,
that's soul work that he did. And that helped me do soul work on not minimizing the word I love you, because I heard I love you all the time, but my house was broken. So I was like, what is I love you? What the crap? You can say that and it doesn't mean anything. So when me and my husband hit a snag in the road of life and he said, I love you, I was like, duh, of course. But what does that mean? And so I had to assess things and figure out where I needed to put the power. I needed to give love the power in my life and not minimize it, because my parents struggle. A lot of us are broken in relationships because of what we saw in our homes. Maybe our moms didn't have a bunch of good friends, and so then we don't have any. And so there's these things that we need to analyze, why we eat the way we eat, why we do the things we do. Why do we go to these places? These places mean I'm successful and my life is good. Not necessarily. If your fun place is the park and you don't go to Greece like your girlfriends, so what? Enjoy the park.
I love it. So,
just learning to
tell
enjoy
us,
your life.
Erica, tell us some more lessons that you have depicted in your book, More Than Pretty. Give us a teaser about what's in the book.
So, I tell this story about eggs. I know that sounds strange, but I want to talk about eggs. So, imagine this group of girlfriends, and they're in their 20s, and every Saturday they have eggs. And they love their egg breakfasts and their brunches, and they do it every Saturday. But one girl in the group doesn't really like eggs, but she doesn't want to say it because she doesn't want to rock the boat. So somewhere around their 30s, they're still doing their egg thing on Saturday. And she builds up the courage to go, hey, guys, can we have, like, Mexican today? And everybody's like, no, girl, we do eggs on Saturday. This is what we do. But she doesn't really like eggs. But she doesn't have the courage to tell her friends because she's afraid I may lose my friends. Well, somewhere around her 40s, and this happens in your 40s, you own who you are. And they say, let's go for eggs. And she goes, child, I don't want no eggs. I don't like the smell of eggs. Y'all can eat them, but I'm going to have a salad on egg day, and it's going to be fine, okay? And everybody agrees, and it's okay. It's giving yourself the pass to be who you are. And this was a real story in my life. Me and my girlfriends, I was always the quiet one. I always went with the flow. Whatever we're doing, you guys, that's what we'll do. And I got to the point where I didn't want to do what everyone else was doing, and I wanted them to be okay with it. But I didn't want to lose my friends that I had had since I was 19 years old. And so initially they said, oh, you're changing because you're Erica Campbell now, or you're Mary now, and you're on TV. And I'm going, no, we all changed. I hope we're not the same girls we were at 21. We're in our 40s now. We should be different. So I don't want to lose my friends. I want you to grow with me. And that's what I ask my friends to do. Grow with me. Let me grow up. I'm not little girl Erica who's afraid of her shadow and afraid of her own opinion. And I don't want to walk away from you guys because maybe you have a difference of opinion. We don't all have to be the same. We're flowers in the garden, but we're all different flowers, but we're all in the same garden. And so I talk about owning what you want and speaking up for who you are, but allowing the people who have been a part of your life to grow with you. I know some people were like, you outgrow people. I don't necessarily think so. I think we grow together. I think they cheer you on as you do different things and you try new things. And I talk about in that book, changing your normals, knowing what your normals are. We get addicted to our normals. This is what I always do for Christmas. Why are we going to a different state? This isn't my normal. It's okay to change. It's okay to shift. And so I'm just being honest and candid, and some people may not be happy with it. But I did. I cleared. I talked to my friends, and I let them know, hey, guys, I'm talking about this. Are we cool with this? And they were like, go ahead. We've grown. We know who we are. We're good. And so I'm sharing
I
that.
I love it. And, you know, the other piece to this is that, you know, when you say we grow together, not necessarily at the same rate. You know, someone over here may have just undergone a divorce. Somebody over here is having huge problems with the child. But we're all still growing. You know, we just keep growing. I guess piece of what you're really saying, Erica, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that acknowledging that we're growing at different paces, our main role here is to help support one another and just to be there for one another, right?
Absolutely, I think that's true.
That's at the core of the relationship, right, Erica?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Giving others license and freedom to be who they are and loving them and cheering them on all every step of the way. And you have real conversations that sometimes may be uncomfortable, because if you love them, then you're free to ask why. You know, even sometimes you say, girl, that sounds dumb, but explain it to me. And if you're real friends, then they'll take that. And me and my girlfriends have had that conversation. And sometimes we go, I can't talk to you for a while because I'm frustrated with you and what you're doing, but I love you. This friendship is not over. I just let me process. And that's cool too. Let them process your change. Let them embrace, you know, your newness and be okay with that.
Wow. I love it. I love it. You know, what it is, it's just being real. And I guess I love the phrase soul work, just doing the soul work. Instead of it sounding onerous or whatever, it really drives you to have to go inward and to examine purpose and meaning in your life. And in this case, more than pretty, why did you decide to call it more than pretty? Those are interesting choice of words.
Just because I've heard that word my whole life. Oh, you're so pretty. Oh, look, oh, she's so pretty. And I have an interesting relationship with the word pretty. So when you're a little girl, you love it. Everyone's saying that you're pretty and you're cute and she's the pretty girl. But I was like, and what else? Just pretty? That's it. You know? And so then, am I the smart one or just the pretty one? Because that sometimes, we've given pretty a bad rap sometimes. And pretty sometimes can unknowingly mean, oh, she's not very smart, but she's pretty. And so that's why I'm more than pretty. Yes, I am. I'm gorgeous. I'm beautiful. I know that. I'm not ashamed to say it. But I'm also much more than that. And when you grow a little older, in my teenage years, the word pretty was used, you know, it can be used as a manipulation tool when guys want to tell you you're pretty because they want a whole different kind of version of you. You know, they want you to loosen up and give them what they want. So they call you pretty. And they, you know, they draw you with words that feel good to the heart. It feels good for someone to call you pretty, right? You transfer into being a grown woman in a business meeting, and I come in to negotiate, and you tell me, oh, you're so pretty. I didn't come here for that. I didn't need that. I came here for business. So don't use it to soften me up before I get in the room. So it's been used in different ways on me. Even when I went solo after coming from Mary, it was been extremely successful. One of the comments and reviews under my very first song said, she's not the good singer. She's a pretty one. Her sister Tina is the singer. And so I had to grapple with that.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
the comment was, you don't need a little more Jesus, honey. You need a little more Tina. You're just the pretty one.
Oh, no.
I've had an interesting relationship with the word. But I won't discredit the word because I am. But I'm also more than that. And I'm going to show you how much more I am than just pretty.
Oh, wow. Now I get it. Okay. I didn't realize they had said that. Now I get the whole meaning behind this and why this is so powerful for you to be able to say, I'm a hell of a lot more than pretty. Makes me kind of smile a little bit because I love it when women are defined as beauty and brains. And if you talk about a guy, it's like, yeah, he's a smart guy. But they don't care what his appearance looks like half the time, unless they're Brad Pitt or something. But for women, we have to separate them out. Beauty and brains, you either have one or the other. And wow, if you get both, what a win-win.
I
mean, you know,
but
does that make sense to you?
They automatically assume that you're not smart.
I know.
If you're gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, look at Beyonce. That's a businesswoman, a drop-dead gorgeous businesswoman. Who's probably one of the sexiest on the planet, but a businesswoman. And I think that shines. And I think if we have more beautiful women who are also showing the other sides of them, you free up younger girls to go, I can be pretty and that too. I can be a businesswoman. I can be an entrepreneur. I can be philanthropic and change the world. I can go to third world countries and build wells. I can do all sorts of things like Alicia Keys and so many other amazing women. And so I'm just adding my name to the list of world changers who happen to be gorgeous.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And what you're doing is you're giving permission, allowing, open the door for women to be able to say, hey, I'm going to walk right through that door. Watch me. And I just absolutely love this. Now, if you were to just gift our wonderful Her podcast listeners with one awesome takeaway from your book, what would it be?
It would be my affirmations, the I am. I am beautiful. I am powerful. I am necessary. I am strong. I am loved. I'm a sister. I'm a friend. I'm funny. I'm charismatic. I'm powerful.
Phew. And you're also a singer. Sing one line. Come on, give it to us. Well, something that would really strike home and just drive it home for us as we're all thinking about our soul work. Go for it, Erica.
Let's see. Spring turns to summer and summer to fall. Fall turns to winter for sure. Seasons change. Joy and pain, life is full of many changes. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold, the changes. You start out young, then you grow old, changes. There it goes.
Oh my God.
Life changes.
That is, wait a minute, just a minute. Yay!
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, Erica, that's crazy.
My not warmed up voice, not prepared to sing.
You know something? It was a gift. Now, everyone out there in her podcast land, oh my gosh, can you just hear the applause? We have been listening to Erica Campbell. Now, she is an absolutely amazing gospel singer who is the author of the book More Than Pretty, Doing the Soul Work That Uncovers Your True Beauty. Get the book, for crying out loud. Don't be a loser. Come on. Read the book and do all of that soul work that Erica has been telling us about. And I hope you enjoyed her beautiful, beautiful voice. Erica, thank you so much for being on the Her Podcast.
Absolutely welcome. Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Pam.
All right, and everyone out there, take a minute right now to hit iTunes and rate and review this show, because this was awesome. Wasn't Erica amazing? I want to hear your feedback. Why? Because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today, and stay well.